कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी शोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे जय गौरांगनेताय श्री श्री गौरांगनेताय गौरांगनेताय श्री श्री गौरांगनेताय प्रभुपाद 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 श्रील प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद गुरुदेव गुरुदेव जय श्रील गुरुदेव गुरुदेव కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షువన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురోః శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం. శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేష గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ దేవా. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమశ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద 18th చాప్టర్ టుడే ఆఫ్ ద 3rd క్యాంటో టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 1. మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తయేవమాకర్ణ్య జలేశ భాషితం మహామనాస్ మహామనాస్తద్ విగణయ్య దుర్మదః హరేర్విదిత్వా గతిమంగనారదాత్ రసాతలం నిర్వివిశే త్వరాన్వితః. మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తదేవమాకర్ణ్య జలేశ భాషితం మహామనాస్తద్ విగణయ్య దుర్మదః హరేర్విదిత్వా గతిమంగనారదాత్ రసాతలం నిర్వివిశే తరాన్వితః. మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ త్వమేవ తదేవమాకర్ణ్య జలేశ భాషితం మహామనాస్తద్ విగణయ్య దుర్మదః హరేర్విదిత్వా గతిమంగనారదాత్ రసాతలం నిర్వివిశే త్వరాన్వితః. మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ తదేవమాకర్ణ్య జలేశ భాషితం మహామనస్తద్ విగణయ్య దుర్మదః హరేర్విదిత్వా గతిమంగనారదాత్ रसातलं निर्विविशे त्वरान्वितः मैत्रेय उवाच हरेर्विदित्वा गतिमङ्गनारदात् रसातलं निर्विविशे त्वरान्वितः वैष्णवीस् मैत्रेयः द ग्रेट् सेज् मैत्रेय उवाच सेड् तत् दट् एवं दस् आकर्ण्य hearing jala isha of the controller of water varuna bhashitam words mahamanaha proud tat those words viganaya having paid little heed to durmadaha vain glorious harehe of the supreme personality of godhead viditva having learned gatim the whereabouts anga o dear vidura naradat from narada rasatalam to the depths of the ocean nirvivishe entered twara anvitah with great speed so this is a chapter the battle between lord boar and the demon hiranyaksha the translation and purport by his divine grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Chir Prabhupada ki Maitreya continued the proud and falsely glorious daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna oh dear Vidura he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the supreme personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean purport Materialistic warmongers are not even afraid to fight with their mightiest enemy, the personality of Godhead. The demon was very encouraged to learn from Varuna that there was one fighter who could actually combat him, and he was very enthusiastic to search out the supreme personality of Godhead just to give him a fight. Even though it was predicted by Varuna that by fighting with Vishnu, he would become prey for dogs, jackals and vultures. Since demoniac persons are less intelligent, they dare to fight with Vishnu, who is known as Ajita, or one who has never been conquered. In the previous chapter, there had been a conversation between Hiranyaksha and Varuna, isn't it? So, now the theme is continuing here. Varuna said that I am very old and I am not a combat for you. I am not a fit person to fight with you. But there is one personality with whom if you fight, you will have a good combat, you will have a good equal to fight with you. And that is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, Varuna didn't stop with that. He also said, when you fight with him, you will simply become a prey of dogs, jackals and vultures, he said. Because in this world, for every fighter, there is somebody who is a better fighter. And for the better fighters, there are still bigger fighters than them. And better than the best is the Supreme Lord, who is indefeatable. Ajita. The word Ajita is used for him. This pastime reminds me of one section of Mahabharata where when Duryodhana was hell-bent on the battle of Kurukshetra, at that time, many great souls were present in the assembly when Krishna had gone as a peace messenger. At that time, Krishna spoke very wisely, very intelligently to Dhritarashtra and told him that your decision right now is going to be a turning point in the Kuru race. In case you decide the battle, decide that the battle should happen, the entire Kuru race will be vanquished. All of your kings will be destroyed. So Krishna pleaded to Dhritarashtra that, you know, do not become the cause of the destruction of all these kings. Don't put vice over virtue. Do not remain blinded by not knowing difference between what is right and what is wrong. So he said, this point of decision is a very vital point. Think twice before you act. All that he spoke. At that time, some more great souls present in the assembly also spoke up. One of them was this Parashurama. Parashurama got up, and of course Parashurama is himself very famous as a very chivalrous warrior. His eyes were sparkling. He was dressed up in deer skin, and he spoke to the assembly. He said, Duryodhana, hear from me the story of one very great asura called as Dambodbhava. As the very name suggests, Dambha Udbhava means that which is born of vanity. See, vanity means self-importance or considering oneself extra special or considering oneself to be the pivot of the whole universe. When one considers oneself as all-important, then everything else and everyone else appear very insignificant. So Dambodbhava was of that nature. He was very proud, very arrogant and rude. So he was searching for a good combat, and then he arrived at Gandhamadana mountains, where the two great celestial rishis, the Naranarayan Rishi, they were performing penances. So when he arrived there, wanting a fight, just like here we find Hiranyaksha wants a fight, his hands are itching. He wants someone to fight with and beat up somebody. When Dambodbhava arrived there, the two lords, Naranarayan Rishi, told him, look at this beautiful place. The birds are chirping. The rivers are flowing so beautifully. The forest is lushy green, such beautiful trees. This is a setting that is fit for performing austerity, penances. Why do you want to pick up a war in this place? We are doing penance. If you want, you can also sit and do penance. Don't unnecessarily pick up fight. But he thought, Dambodbhava thought that they are afraid of me. That was his foolishness. So he told them, you may decline from war, but I am not ready. If you decline, I will fight with you now. Then Nara, one out of the two, Nara told him, if you insist on fight, now bring all your soldiers, bring all your weapons. When you are ready, you tell me. Then let us see what happens. Then when he brought everything and arranged, Nara picked up few pieces of grass and hurled it with a mantra. And he hurled it on him. And the grasses became like streaks of lightning. They started attacking all the soldiers. It was like electric wire. They were cutting the ears and noses of all the soldiers. And most amazingly, the soldiers couldn't budge an inch. They couldn't flee away for their life also. They were like frozen. And they wanted to run away, they couldn't run also. At that time, Dambodbhava, realizing the situation, he fell at the feet of Naranarayan Rishi and begged for forgiveness. So Nara told him that whenever you fight with anybody, you should know the power of the other person before. Without estimating the power of your opponent, one should not foolishly begin a fight. That is a sign of foolishness, he said. So after quoting the story, Parashuram told Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra that many such demons in this world have appeared, they have arrived in this world, they have come, and they have been defeated. And he said there are 8 things in this world which become a cause of one's shortage of the duration of life. They shorten the duration of life. Ayu. Our Ayu, or the duration of life, is shortened by 8 things, he said. He said the desire, the anger, the greed, the one which I told you, the self-importance, and rudeness, and pride. Pride means considering oneself superior to others. Superiority complex. So superiority complex. And then he said vanity, rudeness, pride, malice, he said, and selfishness. Totally 8 things he says. So these are the qualities that are very popularly found in the great demons. These qualities. Desire is lust. Lust, anger, greed, vanity, rudeness, pride, malice, and selfishness. Totally 8 of them. So he said, wherever these qualities are found, he said, that will surely lead one to destruction. It will lead one to reducing of the age, ayu, and one will be destroyed. And then he said, to Dhritarashtra, your son is unable to discriminate between religion and irreligion. You being the elder, you should take the right course of action. So in this way, warning was given to Dhritarashtra. So just as we find Dambod Baba in that story, going around, his hands were itching for a fight. This is not uncommon. You find like this, you know, there was a thousand-handed Kartavirya Arjun. You know, he was blocking a river from the water flowing. So the water overflew. In the bank of the same river, a little distance away, there was Ravana, who happened to be there. And the water overflowed and swept away Ravana and along with some of his people. And Ravana got wild. So he wanted to pick up, you know, he wanted to have a big fight with Kartavirya Arjun, who very easily defeated Ravana. Yes, it is a fact that Ravana was defeated by Kartavirya Arjun, but then Kartavirya Arjun was later defeated by Parashuram. You will see that. You will see that. In this world, you will find one fellow may be able to fight another fellow and subdue him, but then another fellow may be subdued by someone else in this world. In this way, there are mighty and more mightier and more mighty people, all fighting for self-importance and selfishness and, you know, becoming the center of the universe. So that is the point being emphasized here. The demon Hiranyaksha was such a greedy fellow, even in the modern times, it may be difficult for us to find a fellow like this, because he stole so much gold from earth that the earth fell off its balance into the Garbhodha Koshan. So much gold he stole. And then Lord had to come himself as Varahadev and reinstate earth in its proper position. So the looters, there may not be anybody who was involved in such a big scam like Hiranyaksha, looting so much from the Lord's property. So he saw the Lord as a competitor when it came to earth. Actually, he thought earth is my property to enjoy. And who is this wild boar who has come to compete with me? So actually, the Brahmana sages later on will offer glorification of Lord Varaha. In that they are saying that Bhumi is Vishnupatni. Vishnupatni means one who is the consort of the Supreme Lord. O Lord, we worship you along with Bhumi, who is also your consort. So the Brahmanas are intelligent, they are understanding, the sages, that actually the Bhumi is Lord's consort and she is producing so many wonderful things because Lord has ordered her that you should produce nice things for my children. So this is the awakened saintly persons who worship the Lord along with his consort. Whereas Hiranyaksha wanted to take away the consort of the Lord and exploit her of all her wealth, all the gold and everything. So when Lord came to protect her, he became wild. He wanted to even fight with the Lord and wanted to kill Lord Vishnu and then continue his exploitation business. So throughout the scriptures, we find this type of tendency repeating. I was just reading one section recently, very interesting section. This is Kamsa speaking to Akrura. See, he is telling, Gacchananda Vrajam Tatra Sutav Anakadundabehe Asate Tav Ihanena Ratananayamachiram. He is telling, hey Akrura, go to the Nanda's village where the sons of Vasudeva are living, two sons of Vasudeva are living, and without delay, bring them here on this chariot. Like that, Kamsa is showing a very new golden chariot to Akrura and telling Akrura that please take this chariot and go and bring the two sons of Vasudev immediately. So Kamsa was thinking that because Akrura was a devotee of Lord Krishna and he was very innocent by nature, he thought he will show this chariot, new golden chariot, and he will be inspired to go. Just to induce him to go, he showed him a new chariot. Just like somebody may give a lollipop, some chocolate to a child, you know, and get something done from the child. So he thought, I can attract Akrura to go. But Akrura was also smiling when he saw the new golden chariot. Not because he was attracted by the new chariot, but he was happy considering the prospect that I can go and meet Krishna face to face. I will have that golden opportunity. So he was very happy. And also Akrura smiled because he thought, if you gave me a old chariot, I would not have gone. He thought, why? Because Krishna doesn't deserve to use a chariot which is already used by you. Because you are giving me a new one, I will bring Krishna in this. So he accepted that. And then he is telling, now from this, in the series of 3-4 verses, you will find how Kamsa is revealing his plan. Hear about Kamsa's plan and what kind of foolish plan making he is doing. He is telling, Gatayishya ihanitau kala kalpena hastina yadimuktau tato mallair gataye vaidyutopamaihi. He is telling, after you bring Krishna and Balaram, I will have them killed by my Kuvalapida elephant, who is as powerful as death itself. And if by chance they escape from him, I will have them killed by my wrestlers, Chandra, Mushtik and all of them, who are as strong as lightning, he is telling. And then he is telling, Tayo nihatayo staptan Vasudeva purogaman tadbandhun nihanishyami Vrishni bhoja dasharhakan. When these two, Krishna Balaram, have been killed, I will kill Vasudev and all their lamenting relatives, that is the Vrishnis, Bhojas and Dasharhas, which means he is making several plans for killing several people. Beginning with Krishna Balaram, after that Vasudev, after that Vrishnis, Bhojas, Dasharhas and all, is telling. And then he is saying, Ugrasenam cha pitaram staviram rajya kamukam. See, what is he calling about Ugrasena? He is telling, Ugrasenam cha pitaram, the old father Ugrasena, he is a oldie, he is telling. He is unfit to be a king. He is old fellow. Staviram, Rajya Kamukam, and he is attached to my kingdom. He is greedy for my kingdom, he is telling. Now we have to ask, who is greedy? Whatever tendencies he has, he is superimposing it on others. He is telling like that. Tad Brataram Devakam cha ye chanye vid visho mama, and I will kill his brother Devaka and all my other enemies as well. In this way, he is making a plan for mass massacre of so many great souls. And then he is telling, Tatascha Aisha Mahi Mitra Bhavitri Nashtakantaka. In this way, my dear friend Akrura, this earth will be free of all taunts, he is saying. Bhavitri Nashtakantaka. Who is the taunt? He himself is a taunt on earth, burden on earth, and he is thinking everybody else is taunt. And he wants to eliminate all of them. And then he is saying, Jarasandho Mama Gurur Dvivido Daita Sakha. These are his friends. He is telling, Jarasandha, although he is a very powerful personality, I don't have to worry because he is my father-in-law. So he is like a guru for me. So dangerous fellows have dangerous gurus also. Jarasandha Mama Guru, Kamsa himself is a very dangerous fellow. And he has somebody to inspire him in his nefarious, notorious activities, you see. And Dvivido Daita Saka, And he's saying, Dvivida is my very dear friend. Shambaro, Naraka, Bano, Mayeva Krita Sauhridaha. Shambara, Naraka, Narakasura, Banasura, they're all my very dear well-wishers, he's telling. Tairaham Surapakshiyan, Hatva, Bokshe, Mahim Tripan. He's telling, in this way, with all my allies keeping on my side, I will destroy all those who are Surapakshiyan, who are all allied with demigods. I will destroy all of them. And then he is telling Akrura, now that you understand my intentions, go at once and bring Krishna Balaram, he is telling. So, you find in this kind of plans which Kamsa is making, he is unable to take a look at himself. What kind of intentions and tendencies I have. He is only thinking about destroying everybody and having unrivaled kingdom. Here also you find Hiranyaksha want to destroy Lord Vishnu because he thinks Vishnu is a disturbance on my way. So let me finish off Vishnu and become unrivaled king. This is called as a Yekarat. Yekarat means, like Samrat, we say similarly Yekarat. When Hiranyakashipu, and when he became a Yekarat, Yekarat means singular king for the whole world, for all the three planetary systems. So, yes, he became apparently an independent king in this whole world. But what did he do? If you see, he went and sat in the throne of Indra and drove away Indra. And he drank abundant liquor and his eyes were rotating like copper balls. And he also dismissed all the demigods from their departments and wanted to take over. He micromanaged everything, practically the whole universe. Nobody could do anything in this world. He took over everything. And whole universe, he wanted everybody to chant, Om Hiranyakashipu Ve Namah. In this way, he practically lorded over the whole world. Once this question came in my mind, that Lord is Swarat, is independent. Why Lord cannot give the freedom to the living entity to be Swarat also? Lord can give us the freedom to be Swarat, but what will we do with that independence? That is a question. You find Lord Krishna is Swarat, as the very first verse of Bhagavatam says, Janmadhyasya Yatonvyat Itaratashchate Shabhigya Swarat. Swarat means supremely independent. But what does Krishna do with his supreme independence? If you see, he is riding the chariot of Arjuna, he is washing the feet of the saintly persons, coming to the Rajasuya Yajna. You find he is protecting the cows, he is protecting the Brahmanas, he is disseminating the Vedic literature, Vedic wisdom, and he is offering protection to Draupadi. So if you see how the Lord is using his freedom and how the living entity is misusing his freedom, we can see, we can make a comparison and see. You see, sometimes when you hear pastimes of Dambodbhava or Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa, somebody may think that these are all very old histories and pastimes. How is it relevant to our personal life right now? People may have a question. And that is why Srila Prabhupada, in the Ishopanishad, he says, the cunning gentleman, Hiranyakashipu, like the Prabhupada begins, one of the purports, where he says, the cunning gentleman, he was making a one-sided approach to getting success in material life. Prabhupada writes. See, what is that one-sided approach? There is materialism, there is spirituality. If we don't make a balance of these two, then we become one-sided in materialistic endeavors. Like, you know, one-sided material endeavor means increasing our fever from, you know, 101, 103, 105, at 107 degree Fahrenheit, there's Marana Jwara, where a person dies. When materialism goes to a certain pinnacle, at that time, the criminalism and suffering terribly increases, which the modern world is facing nowadays. The more the people become materialistic, they become extremely grossly selfish, lusty, greedy, angry. They become extremely self-centered. They don't care for others' conveniences, comforts. In order to achieve their own insatiable desires, they will go to any extent, do anything. So, same way, Hiranyakashipu became one-sided. He made a one-sided material attempt to improve the material enjoyment. And the result was, at last he was destroyed by the Supreme Lord. So, like Hiranyakashipu was increasing his materialistic comforts without bothering, what to speak of becoming Krishna conscious, even without bothering to even consider the existence of the Supreme Lord. You can find how much he was like one-sided in his materialistic attempts. So, this is the main theme that the Shastras are conveying when we talk about the great demons. You will find here Hiranyaksha's hands are itching for a fight. This is what happens when somebody afflicted by the lower modes of Rajoguna and Tamoguna, namely the passion and ignorance, when they get power, that power can do great harm to themselves and for others also. Like a garland given to a monkey, the monkey is never going to preserve it. They're going to tear it to pieces. Similarly, power given to someone in passion and ignorance will be surely exploited. That is why I heard Abraham Lincoln or someone, he said that point, that if you want to, there are many people who become leaders and who may sometimes live a very detached life also. But he said, you give leadership to somebody, that is a real test of his character. Because people become corrupt when one is given an absolute power. As the saying goes, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that is only true for absolute power on a material platform. On a spiritual platform, Yudhishthira Maharaj was given absolute power. He never became corrupt. Ambarish Maharaj was given absolute power. He never became corrupt. You don't find. So you find in the Shastra that great souls who are aligning with the Supreme Lord, they can remain pure even when absolute power is given to them. Absolute freedom is given to them. Absolute comforts and luxuries and facilities are given to them. They never misuse it. Which means the Shastras emphasize that the more we are given responsibility and power and prestige and all these things, the more our submissiveness to the Supreme Lord and our attentiveness to the good instructions of the saintly persons and our fixity on the Shastras, the teachings of the Shastra, and our non-injuring nature in dealing with all types of living entities, humans and animals and birds and everybody, and very attentive utilization of all the resources of material nature in Lord's service. All these things become important when one is given the opportunity, the facility for taking those resources. That is why in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas chose the king and the king chose the ministers. And then the ministers appointed further people below them for cooperating in a particular department. Why is it so? Why the Brahmanas chose the king and not the praja, public? In modern times in India, we have the democracy where all the people come together and vote for electing a person for the post. Is it not true? MLA or MP or whoever it is, isn't it? Why the Shastras don't approve of it? Prabhupada used to call it democracy as demon crazy. Why he called it? Because Prabhupada says the government of the Shudras, by the Shudras, for the Shudras. He says, because the public in general want to indulge in nasty activities. Like sometimes a politician tells in a village, you know, I will arrange a liquor shop for you if you give me votes. And public votes for him. And that is why it's called of the Shudras, by the Shudras, for the Shudras. Or somebody says, we'll open a cinema theater for you. Like that. So, or we'll open a slaughterhouse for you in your village. And people vote for such a person. Whereas in the Brahmanas elect somebody, whom will they elect? The very first thing they will see is character. Character is more important than academic qualification also. Like there are students of doctorate, but they have no control of their senses. They are smoking and drinking and mishandling women. So there are so many people holding doctorate degrees. their doctorates have no meaning at all. Huh? On the other hand, in the Shastras, the emphasis is given on the character. Huh? One, the king, who is free from these vices, the very first qualification is seen. And his subordination to the saintly persons, and his alignment with God according to Shastra, all these things become important. Otherwise, if a man is not of that stature, like we are seeing about Hiranyaksha here, all the bad propensities come in a living entity when he is given some facility, when he is given some power, when he is given some control. So the desire to control, the desire to dominate, the desire to exploit and enjoy is very deep-rooted in the conditioned soul. Because of which actually everybody in this world is repeatedly taking birth and death again and again. It is not only for the kings, it is ultimately for everyone, every living entity in this world. The propensity of controlling and enjoying is very deep-rooted. So here, when we read such pastimes like this, Hiranyaksha trying to control the earth, Mother Earth, as if Mother Earth is his consort. He is trying to exploit Mother Earth. And Lord is liberating Mother Earth from his clutches. And this is something that repeats again and again in the Shastra. Lord especially comes to relieve the earth, Mother Earth, of her burden. Well, there is one verse in another section, Kunti Maharani's prayers, where she says, Jato Hyatma Bhuvartitaha, what is that verse? Bharavataranyanye Bhuvo Nava Ivo Dadhau Siddhantya Bhuri Bharena. Like that she's saying, in that verse she's telling, Krishna, you appear in this earth on the prayer of Bhumi. Bhumi went to Brahma, and then Brahma went to Lord Vishnu and offered a prayer. And Bhumi was finding a great burden on herself because of the demons. There Srila Prabhupada writes, there are huge mountains on earth, huge oceans are also there, but the Bhumi doesn't feel any burden. But as soon as some demons are born in this earth, the Bhumi finds it a very great burden. Why so? Because not that the demon's body is very heavy or something. Actually, when something becomes a burden for us, when we have a dislike, for example, if there are two devotees having some little problem with each other, you put them in a big room like this, this size room, still they will request the organizers, can you put me in another room? You know. On the other hand, if 50 devotees are very nicely united, you can put them in a small room and they can adjust with each other. So they won't feel any uneasiness. Correct, no? Similarly, you will find that you are going for a yatra. Say 1,000 people are going for yatra. In that, somehow or other, one thief also dressed himself with tilak and dhoti kurta, everything. He understood that the devotees are going on a yatra. He can have a good time to loot their bags. So he also goes with them. Just only one thief only. So how many people suffer? All the 999 people suffer. Correct, no? Similarly, the thieves and rogues who are born on earth, they are trouble creators. They are trouble creators. They won't let people live in peace. And trouble creator means they are exactly opposed to Lord's plans. They won't, like Prabhupada says, the cows deserve to be protected. Because cow is one of the seven mothers. Recently I was hearing how in one particular village, one farmer was saying this, a true story. This village was very much touching a forest. One time, a tiger suddenly came to the frontiers of the village where this farmer was tending the cows. So as soon as the cows saw the tiger, their life was also under threat. Correct, no? And the farmer's life is also under threat. You know what they did, these cows? They all surrounded the farmer with their horns outside. Like this, they showed the horns. So the entire circle of horns all around. So the tiger saw that and ran away. So a group of cows made the tiger frightened and ran away. And they kept the farmer in the middle because they knew that he is the covered man. who's taking them for this thing. So he was telling about how we may think they are animals, but they are extremely sensitive. So this similarly, a cow deals in a very personal way with the master. You take the bucket to give the fodder. As soon as you lift the bucket, immediately cow will turn and see the fellow has come now. Extremely sensitive. Similarly, you will see if you are brushing the cow will almost like go to sleep. And if you take away the brush, immediately the cow will watch. What happened? Why have you stopped? Isn't it? So such a sensitive and conscious animal and dear to Krishna, you find that the demons just do the opposite. The cows are to be protected because they are one of the seven mothers, but they kill the cows. And they want to destroy the Brahminical culture. So you will find each of the activities of the demons are opposed to the Supreme Lord. So that is how they become, they pose a great burden, because Mother Earth is also the consort of the Lord. Like right now, we are all sitting on the lap of Mother Lakshmi. The Bhumi is also one form of Lakshmi. One of the Bhudevi and Shridevi are on either side of Balaji, you have seen. So she doesn't mind, even if you are sitting on her lap, sometimes people, all the living beings are passing urine and stool and everything on earth. In Vedic times, when people would go to pass stool and urine in the morning, they would chant a particular mantra to the Bhumi. Oh Bhumi, oh Mother, consort of Vishnu, now I am going to perform an act which is not a very glorious act. I am going to release all the dirty things from my body on yourself. Please forgive me. But you are very kind, you are like a mother and I am like your child, tolerate me. Like that, there is a prayer. And then that prayer also implies one more thing. Whatever I am eating and digesting and the strength that I am getting, let me use it in the service of Lord Vishnu. That is the meaning. Let me not use the vigor and vitality I get by eating in doing passionate, nefarious activities. Rather, let me use the Shakti in Lord's service. That is actually the meaning. So, in this way, the demons pose a very great burden on earth. Even in that fourth canto, we read Bhumi Devi, she was refusing to give out the grains. She said, I have hidden them inside me, but I am not releasing them. Why? Because the demons are eating these grains and becoming fat, and they are misusing my resources for their own personal sense enjoyment, she said. So if they are using in Vishnu service, then I will give. Otherwise, I will not give. And it's very natural, isn't it? Like you can ask any mother, like a mother or father may give some pocket money to a son. But if they find that the son is using the pocket money for smoking or drinking, then they will not give him. They stop giving. Or the boy may not depend on the mother, father. He may put his hand in the bureau and take out money. Then they will lock the bureau. Isn't it? They will not let. That is why you find nowadays people are doing deep hole drilling. Even after putting so much boring water doesn't come. There is a great suffering because the Bhumi is hiding everything, not giving. The more people oppose the plan of Lord Vishnu, the more the Bhumi will become upset. She will refuse to give the items which actually nourish the living entities. You see. So here Bhumi Devi is very horrified by the behavior of Hiranyaksha. And she is seeking the shelter of Lord Varaha, who comes to destroy such demons. So in that chapter on Hiranyakashipu, Ishopanishad Prabhupada says, this fellow Hiranyakashipu made a one-sided attempt to enjoy material life and he was destroyed. And then Prabhupada adds subsequently, he says that the modern day civilization is also Hiranyakashipu civilization. Because whatever Hiranyakashipu was doing, similar things are happening in the modern times also. Like Hiranyakashipu did not let Vaishnavas go into the Gurukula to preach Vaishnava civilization, Vaishnava culture. Rather, he told Chandamaraka, beware, some Vaishnavas are spoiling my son, he said. Teaching Krishna consciousness, he called it to be spoiling. Similarly, now also in colleges and schools, there is a big restriction for preachers to go in and preach. Because the colleges say that, you know, allow us to keep our students as ignoramuses so that they will graduate into nothingness. They will graduate as fools. They don't want them to become enlightened. Some or other Vaishnavas sneak in and preach and bring devotees. There is no freedom because in the name of secularism, in India, the secularism is another name for atheism. In this way, you can show one-to-one similarity. Like, for example, the bananas and tomatoes and apples and all these things are made to ripe very fast so that they can make quick money. They are putting smoke. They are nowadays putting injection also. A small tomato, if you put injection, it becomes big like this, very big. It appears very attractive. If you cut it, there is nothing inside, just hollow. So you will find, just like Hiranyakashipu was forcing the nature to yield fruits, to yield grains, the nature out of fear for him was yielding. Similarly, modern man is trying to exploit the earth by putting fertilizer and trying to exploit her to produce things. This is also like a mini Hiranyakashipu. So if you carefully observe each of the tendencies of Hiranyakashipu, they are all Hiranyakashipu said, destroy the gopurams, destroy the temples, put fire to the hermitages where the brahmanas live, he said. The modern times, the brahmanas are not patronized by the government. Rather, the politicians are pocketing as much money as they can in 4 or 5 years so that they can use the money for canvassing for the next election. On the other hand, the true brahmanas who study Shastra and who distribute Shastra, they are not patronized. They are not supported. And the temples are supposed to be built by the Kshatriya kings. Like in South India, there is one temple in Tanjore. This temple took 300 years to build. Can you imagine? But this 300 years temple was built by one king, his son and his grandson and his son also. 3-4 sons. So the kings, the father would do some work and pass away. Then the son, prince, would come and continue the building of the temple. Like that they have done. And in this way they gave opportunity for the architecture, just like you have the stone carvings here. So they had abundant opportunity to give vent to the talents like this in large service. Opposite of Hiranyaksha tendency means, Hiranyaksha is exploiting, opposite of that is serving. Every living entity should be given opportunity to serve the Lord using one's talent. Whether one is a sculptor, one is a brahmana, one is a kshatriya, one is a vaishya. Whoever one is. That kind of Hiranyakashipu type of culture, Prabhupada compares modern times is a godless civilization. The opposite of Hiranyakashipu civilization is like Prahlad civilization. As soon as Prahlad became the king, do you know what he did? He was put on the throne, which he never wanted. Prabhupada says, Prahlad was never attached to the estates of his father. Prabhupada writes in one purport. But it was Lord's order that he should be coronated as the king. So he accepted the kingship of the world on the order of the Lord. But as soon as he became the king, he started traveling outdoor. There is a place in South India called Melukottai. In that area, Prahlad was traveling and he came to a place where under a tree, one Avadhut Brahmana was lying. One fat Avadhut Brahmana was lying. And then Prahlad came and met him and he got off from his chariot along with his ministers, went and saw that Brahmana and he understood he is a very exalted person. Then Prahlad offered namaskar to him, obeisances to him. And then he told him that, oh great Avadhuta, it seems that you have no job. It seems you have no property. You have no relatives and friends. You live all alone. But yet you seem to be so fat. How is it? Since you are so fat, I can only understand Lord Narayana is nourishing you. He is providing for your needs. Like that he said. And that Avadhut Brahmana told Prahlad, Prahlad, although you are a king, I generally don't talk to anyone. And all the more so with people who are very materialistic kings. I don't talk. But since you happen to be a pure devotee of Lord Narayana, for my purification, I have decided to speak with you. So in this way, they both were seeing each other as devotees of Narayana. And then Prahlad stayed there and heard the sermons of Avadhut Brahmana, which appears in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. You find Avadhut Brahmana spoke to him. So in this way, great kings like Prahlad, they are eager to hear sermons of saintly persons. Like a great king like Pratapudra is sweeping the floor in front of Lord Jagannath's Rath cart. You find that. So we have to compare and contrast the lives of devotee kings and the atheistic kings, and see the quality of their lifestyle and their relationship with the Supreme Lord and with the jivas, other jivas. So that kind of study will help us to see how the living entity by nature is a servant of the Supreme Lord. And if he becomes favorably disposed towards Supreme Lord and serves him, he can be happy. And actually, such a living entity is given more and more independence also. Lord awards more and more independence. But this kind of artificially demanded independence by Hiranyaksha, modern man also wants to be artificially independent. Everybody wants to break all ties and live a life in abandon. Just be free. Just do what you feel like doing. So that kind of lifestyle will never make one happy. It can never make others happy also. Now Hiranyaksha was actually searching for a combat, for fight. You can see how much passion is in him, you can see. It is simply the Rajoguna which induces one to fight. So Prabhupada says that when a living entity is in mode of passion, he considers himself very, very important and very special. And he wants to draw the attention of others towards oneself. For that he has to do monkey-like activities. Because he wants to catch the attention of other people. Why people dress provocatively? Why people want to show glitter and glamour? Because seeing glamour and showing glamour is a sign of mode of passion. But devotee of the Lord wants to make Krishna the center, you see. Whereas the demons want to show the world how much nuisance value I can create. Like Indra also was a demigod, but he became demoniac for some period of time. He wanted to show Vrijabhasis, you know, you have taken shelter of Krishna. Now, maybe you took shelter of Krishna, but let me show you how much I can be of nuisance value to you. Sometimes in government offices also, if you don't give some money to them, they want to show, I cannot do good to you, but at least I can show you how much nuisance value I can be of to you. Isn't it? So Indra started showering heavy rains to beat up the Vrijabhasis and kill the cows and calves. Although he's supposed to protect the Brahminical culture. You see? So Krishna understood such rains are out of season, he understood. Which are mixed with ice cubes falling from the sky. So we can understand that although Indra is supposed to be in mode of goodness, when one does not walk the path of God, one can become afflicted by the disease of passion and ignorance. That is why Prabhupada says one should always aim at Vishuddha Sattva platform. Then we can be on Sattva Guna at least. If you are in Sattva Guna, we can fall back to Rajaguna anytime. Rajaguna or Tamaguna. Below, there is always a possibility. Because at the least expected moment, we are dragged down by the material nature. We have entered into a dangerous world, which is material world, and we can get afflicted by the disease of this lower gunas. That happened to Indra for a short while, until he came to his own senses, eventually, and surrendered to Supreme Lord. That's one good nature of the demigods. You know, those who are demigods and mode of goodness, they will realize their folly, realize their mistake, and they will surrender. So similarly, these two natures have to be always remembered and studied, the exploiting nature and the serving nature, bhogavritti and sevavritti. So as soon as we lose the service attitude, service propensity, even spiritual life can become very bitter. And all relationships can become very painful. You know, and performance of devotion service can become very laborious and burdensome. But as soon as there is seva bhav, service attitude, you know, the whole environment turns into Vrindavan. And in relationships with the devotees become a nectar. It becomes a great nectar. And every word in the Shastra makes so much sense and become very lively in our life. So Hiranyaksha teaches us how not to give up our service attitude and హౌ నాట్ టు మనశ్శస్థాని ఇంద్రియాణి ప్రకృతిస్థాని కర్షతి ఫైట్ అగేన్స్ట్ ద లార్డ్స్ నేచర్ టు బికమ్ అ స్వామి. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రయింగ్ టు బికమ్ అ స్వామి ఆఫ్ నేచర్, లార్డ్ ఈజ్ అ రియల్ స్వామి, రియల్ మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ ఫైటింగ్ అగేన్స్ట్ నేచర్ వీ షుడ్ అలైన్ విత్ ద లార్డ్ సో దట్ లార్డ్ విల్ టేక్ అవే ద ఎఫెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మాయా ఓవర్ అస్. యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ మామేవి ఏ ప్రపద్యంతే మాయా మేటాం తరంతితే, యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ వన్ సరెండర్స్ టు సుప్రీం లార్డ్, ద లార్డ్ టెల్స్ మాయా నవ్ యూ లీవ్ దిస్ ఫెలో. వెన్ లార్డ్ ఆర్డర్స్ మాయా టు లీవ్ ద గ్రిప్ ఆన్ అస్, యాక్చువల్లీ యాజ్ యూ గో టు గుడ్నెస్ అండ్ ప్యూర్ గుడ్నెస్ ద గ్రిప్ ఆఫ్ మాయా ఆన్ అస్ విల్ బి రెడ్యూస్డ్. జస్ట్ లైక్ ఇఫ్ పిక్ పాకెటర్ ఇస్ స్టీలింగ్ ద పోలీస్ క్యాచెస్ హిమ్ బై ద నెక్ అండ్ ద మొమెంట్ ద ఫెలో సరెండర్స్ రైజెస్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్ ద పోలీస్ మే లీవ్ హిమ్ ఇజ్న్ ఇట్. సిమిలర్లీ వీ ద మోర్ వీ అలైన్ విత్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇన్ ద మాయా లూసెస్ హర్ గ్రిప్ ఓవర్ అస్ ఓవర్ ఎ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ అండ్ ఆల్ ద గుడ్ క్వాలిటీస్ విల్ కమ్ విల్ అక్రూ ఇన్ అ డివోటీ హూ అలైన్స్ విత్ కృష్ణస్ ప్లాన్. హరి కృష్ణ, ఐ కెన్ టేక్ 5 minutes క్వశ్చన్స్.
However, a vast majority of living entities, as we learn, are in the spiritual world and they are free from such tendency, but still they are also not Swarat. I mean, they are
given such freedom by mercy of Krishna, like Narada Muni. He can fly anywhere he wants. He can go to heaven, he can go to hell, he can go to Vaikuntha. He is carrying his Veena.
But Swarat means fully independent, who doesn't depend on anybody else. Only Krishna is Swarat.
No, Krishna is Swarat and Krishna can make a devotee also independent, because ultimately it is Krishna's wish. See, why Krishna makes Narada Muni so independent? Because he knows Narada Muni will not misuse his independence. Correct, no? Like sometimes a child wants independence in the kitchen. He wants to touch the fire. He wants to catch the knife. Correct, no? Or there is a bucket of water, he will put his head inside and fall upside down inside. Mother is worried. He will do some mischievous activity. Is it not true? So the child has a tendency to grab things which are dangerous for him. In the same manner, Krishna is telling, mohat grihitva asat grahat pravartante ashuchi vratau, Krishna is telling. Mohat grihitva. Because the jivas in this world are in moha, illusion, they grab things which are dangerous for them. Like that he says. So that is why he doesn't give them independence. But once the jiva becomes completely purified and goes to spiritual world, what to speak of Krishna giving independence to jiva? Krishna becomes subordinate to that living entity. Evam sandarishita hiyanga harina abritya vashyata svavashena krishnenapi yasyedam seshwaram vashe. This is a Bhagavatam verse which says, that svavashena krishnenapi. Krishna is actually not controlled by anyone. He is in his own control only, Krishna. And he controls the 33 crore devatas also. Krishna controls all of them. Still, it says, evam sandarshita hiyanga harina britya vashyata, means he wanted to show the world, although I am independent, I become controlled by Yashoda. He wanted to show, correct, no? So not only Yashoda is independent, even Yashoda becomes capable of controlling Krishna by her love. Correct, no? So you will see that all of you think for a moment, if you have a very sweet relation with one of your subordinates, for example, you have a subordinate devotee, or you have a superior, if the relationship is sweet, you put enormous trust in them. You entrust them with a lot of money, you entrust them with a lot of assets, you also entrust them with a lot of freedom. How many of you agree? Correct, no? When there is trust, correct? When there is a lot of trust. Because the trust level is so high, you know that they will not misuse it. Correct, no? Like I have seen in offices also, sometimes a man tells his boss that, you know, boss, there are some special guests coming in my home today. He will say, just put your attendance and go. You know, you can put your attendance and half a day you can take and go. And it is not counted as you are taking leave also. Because the boss has so much trust in the subordinate. On the other hand, the subordinate is very notorious and the boss will become extra strict. Correct, no? You can see that. Similarly, Lord also happily gives freedom to the devotees. Actually, the more we See, just like if this is a cow, tied to a pole like this. Within this radius, the cow has freedom to graze the grass, isn't it? But then why the farmer has tied him to a rope like this? Because he is fearing that the cow may be a little naughty cow, you know, it may just, you know, hit somebody. But then if the cow becomes a good cow, then he will increase the radius. If the cow becomes even more better, he will even allow the cow to wander within the compound. If he becomes even a better cow, he may even allow the cow to go outside, graze all day and come back in the evening also. He increases the freedom. So fate and free will, if you see, the free will is increased and the fate is reduced for a devotee. Whereas for a non-devotee, the fate is increased and the free will is reduced. So there is a dynamic tension between the two, yeah.
I was asking because I was just feeling, just to clarify that, even if someone is totally free from, I mean, like the lower tendencies, still I was thinking that maybe the very constitutional position of the living entity is to be subordinate.
Yes.
And that can never be taken away from the living entity, that he can never become really, so to speak,
independent.
Totally independent.
Actually, the living entity has a minute free will, but when he becomes a pure devotee, he sacrifices that free will in Krishna's lotus feet. And the living entity says, Krishna, I don't want this free will. You take it. Which means a pure devotee is like an autopiloted plane. He's completely conducted by the Lord. So much so that the Lord can use the pure devotee for various purposes. Just like Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan, your body is my property. How can you decide to commit suicide? Same way the Lord told Murari Gupta also. Murari Gupta had kept a knife, you know. Mahaprabhu took the knife and showed Murari Gupta, how dare you are trying to kill yourself. Your body is my property. Is it not true? So in this way, and when the Lord becomes even more pleased with someone, he is telling Vasudeva Datta, that Vasudeva Datta, my body is your property. Who is saying that? Lord Chaitanya is saying, I am your property, is telling. And you can, Vasudeva can sell me anywhere he wants. He says like that. That means, in one stage, the devotee's body becomes Lord's property. In a higher stage, the Lord becomes devotee's property. Correct, no? So, now somebody can say, if Lord becomes devotee's property, who is superior? Is Lord superior or devotee superior? Lord makes the devotee superior. Like Prabhupada is saying, Hanuman said Jai Shri Ram and he crossed over Lanka. Correct, no? Whereas Lord Ram had to make a Setubandha bridge to cross Lanka. Who is greater? Isn't it? And Prabhupada said, Haridasa Thakur chanted 3 lakh names every day. Lord Chaitanya only chanted 1 lakh or 2 lakh names. So Prabhupada said, who is greater? And then Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya preached only in India. But Prabhupada said, but I preached all over the world. Who is greater? So devotees got bewildered. Then Prabhupada said, you see, Lord only is the greatest. But Lord delights in making his devotee greater than himself. Like, you know, Lord Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to take instructions from whom? Bhishma Pitama. And Lord wanted to show the world, Bhishma is more enlightened than me also. Me and Vyasadev. Lord Krishna and Vyasadev, they gave advice to Yudhishthira. He was not satisfied. When he went to Bhishma, he was satisfied. So Lord Krishna, just like any parent will delight in proving to others that my son or daughter is better than me. Correct? Like that Lord also does. So, when we say the Jiva can also become Swarat, it is not that Jiva by constitution is Swarat. By constitution he is a servant only. But Lord, out of love for the Jiva, may give him so much independence. The Jiva may be able to do things which ordinarily he may not be able to do without Lord's empowerment. You know? Yeah, that was a good point. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.